from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around.
93.7, the River that goes Ario Speedwagon. Dog and Joe Show on a Friday. Coming up, your chance to know the Dog and Joe Show. We got to talk about this, though. A lot of people upset. Some people excited to join the protest. Either side of the fence, someone's got an opinion about this Stephon Clark shooting that started all this melee and mayhem yesterday. 766-9370. I put this post up last night. What started out on I-5 right around 420-ish, blocking the road. You know, people had to stop. All these protesters. They said hundreds. It looked to me, I'm just guessing, the untrained eye, 200, 250-ish.
Quite a few people, it looked like.
And then they bled over to Golden One for the Atlanta Hawk King game, and you heard Sheriff John McGinnis, ex-Sheriff John McGinnis, he was on the phone, and he said it's absolutely illegal to block the fans and the ticket holders from getting in and gaining entrance to Golden One last night, because I'm sitting there and I'm watching this. I'm like, come on. And I always go back to, remember Malachi over at the UC Davis protest? He was the guy that had that it just always excites me. He was the guy that had Malachi red hair. He was the UCD police officer that ultimately lost his job because of what he did, but he had this gigantic, looked like this big pest sprayer, big old can, and had a big industrial grade nozzle on it. And the
big
kids,
trigger sprayer.
Yeah, man. It was all pneumatic, and it was like all punched up. It's like he had nitro in it mixed in with the pepper spray.
And before that, I had never seen a pepper sprayer or a sprayer like that.
I don't think anyone had. And it was all over, you know, national news, as this story is. But because the kids over at UCD were blocking the sidewalk, there's Malachi. He's out there. He's a pretty big dude. And he had his riot mask on. He was out there like he was spraying termites, man. He was gassing and fogging them, and everybody cried. Everyone's like, oh, my God, why, how could you do that to these UCD students and these protesters?
And I mean, whatever chemical was coming out of that thing, whatever burning, sensational chemical, it was colored.
It was Agent Orange,
it
man.
It sprayed their faces orange.
Yeah, they were leaving. They looked like clouds, man. Yeah. It was like he had hair dye in it. Yeah,
I don't know what that was, but it was potent.
And for those that remember the footage, man, you watched it thinking, wow, what's this guy doing? This is great. And then he lost his job. You know, there's a bunch of controversy over that. So I sat there last night watching this case over at Golden One in this protest. I didn't understand. I didn't understand why people weren't forcing their way in to get into the game, and why the different Kings officials weren't allowing entry, or why SAC PD didn't make way to give the fans who bought the tickets a chance to go inside. And they let the protesters ruin the game. There was only like 1,200 people that gained entrance to see the Hawk King game.
Well, you say that this is my question, and I was wondering while we were on the phone with John if he was going to talk about it or not, but they said they formed that human chain around the front of the arena there.
Yeah.
What happened to people that tried to go through it?
It didn't show anyone. What it said, what I heard, correct me if I'm wrong, 766-9370, is a bunch of ticket holders were having a special event last night, so they got in early before the protesters started blocking and lining up. And then the other ones that showed up for normal game time, they saw this big chain and they saw this controversy, and they're like, oh, God.
I'm not going to deal with it.
And then the Kings had to say, we're going to shut the arena down to keep it safe. And there was a little bit of scuffle here and there with some cops and riot gear and some of the protesters, but there were zero arrests made last night. So
I'm guessing no fight, because they always say that they're going to do a nonviolent protest.
Yeah.
And people can argue and disagree to either way about whether what is violent and what isn't. But I'm just curious about, say you showed up, you're a young husband and wife, you've got a 5 to 10-year-old child with you.
On Facebook, people said that same scenario.
And you're going to try and, now you want to go see the, you don't want to cause a problem with the protesters.
Yeah.
You just want to go see the basketball game.
Yeah. You know what it costs to park, to dine.
You've already gotten down there now.
You got your popcorn, you got your tickets, you've already purchased them. You want to go watch the ball game.
You're not a news-oriented, violent-type person, so you
don't
even know
about
this.
Yeah, you don't care about anything. You just want basketball.
And you're trying to go through there. What would they have done to you?
They would not have let go. They would have kept the human chain.
What if you dipped down and tried to go underneath of their arms?
Well, I think the simple, excuse me, sir, I'm here with my family, and we're going to enter. If after that request, even before that request, they'd already broken the law, but if they did not move, see, here's where it gets dicey. If you start shoving into them going, hey, I want in, they have to let you in because now they're impeding on your rights. And that's what did not make sense to me last night, is that SAC PD politely stood by and allowed this to happen. And I don't understand why Malachi, the guy that was over UCD, why he's not in charge of every pepper spray unit or protest unit in the nation.
They probably just want to take it easy. They probably just don't want to up the ante and get anyone else more excited.
And I get that. And I could go off on a big hayride of, yeah, run the protesters over and gas them. But to be smart with it,
that doesn't work.
That's what they did. They went about it the PC way, so it didn't escalate and then move from I-5 to Golden 1 downtown to other places. They just kind of let them gather. They let them say their spiel, and then they disbanded. And
well, doing violence to the protesters isn't going to accomplish anything. We've had cities all over America where a violent person said, "You know what? I don't care if you want to stand in the road. I have to go to work," and they run over them. And they're not like in big 4x4 trucks. They're like in Toyota Celicas.
Yeah, no, I know.
And Priuses.
And then what you have is they shut the city down and they start putting out curfews, and then you get the National Guard. So it does ratchet up as soon as police ratchets up. But here's the thing: when you're breaking the law, you got to ratchet up and you got to give lumps.
But is it going to stop it? I mean, is it going to help anything? Is it going to make the game go off without a hitch? I mean, to meet violence with violence, or to meet a protest with violence over something violent that happened, does that stop anything?
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I could answer it, and I can answer it definitively, but truthfully, it's tough.
It really is. It's really hard to decide what to do and how to feel about all this.
766-9370. John, appreciate you hanging. Good morning. What's up?
Hey, so I was there last night, and they did try to get into the building.
What would happen if they did? What would they do to them?
That's the question. Nobody knows, because they didn't get in. They tried to get in through the two employee entrances. They tried to force their way in. Security stopped them from getting in. And then
hold on, John. What he's
talking about, two separate issues.
Yeah, here. What John's talking about is the protesters
tried to gain
access to Golden 1, and that's the footage you saw with police and riot gear stopping them. John, what Joe is asking though is, did you see any fans try to get past the human chain to get into Golden 1?
Fans did try, but that's about as far as it went. They tried.
And then what would happen? Would they use like a violent technique against them to keep them out?
Yeah, like a normal protest. They would get in your face, yell at you. You wouldn't have a chance to even say a word. Like, we were up watching them. Just somebody would be like, well, we want to get in. And they would start yelling at them and chanting at them. It doesn't matter what you or I have to say. Their point needed to be made.
Yeah, see,
even if you were there with a family, you had nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah, and that's why they do this. That's why these people talk about these protests, and that's why they do it, because they want to raise awareness. But like John McGinnis said, you're impeding on someone else's right by blocking entry, and you're condemning or slowing commerce. These people work all week. They want to go out and see a freaking game. And I wish I could cuss right now because it irritates me. But then you have these people that are out there doing that. And if you want to protest, that's fine. But you're illegally blocking them from something they've worked hard for that supports the city you live in. Whether you like the Kings or not, these people have nothing to do with your cause. You're going about it the wrong way.
I mean, I am not much one for protesting. I see the point in it. But I am a lover of people. And I can tell you how what you need to do if you would like to get people on your side is you don't want to be mean and cause an issue while you're protesting. If you want people to support your cause and be a part of it, guys like me that don't know anything about what's going on show up and see something like that.
Yeah.
You've immediately just made me feel weird and upset and kind of like, gosh darn it, what are you doing?
What you're saying, and I want to get to this as we change lanes on it, you're saying you're disenfranchised now, and now you cared about a story, or let's say you cared about a story like Stephon Clark.
And I do still care about the story.
Yeah, and you do, but now you're almost disenfranchised, or you have animosity where you don't want to support it because now these protesters have impeded on your life.
On people's lives that didn't do anything, and they're saying that they do it to raise awareness and want to get people on their side. But the way they go about doing it is by making the people they want to get on their side angry. Yeah. I don't understand that.
Let's go to Jason. Jason, welcome. What's up?
Good morning, guys. As always, hands-free free.
Yeah, Jason!
So I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but I also saw the statement that the Kings made on social media, and it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. The Kings basically said that they stopped allowing people to come into the game due to law enforcement's inability to keep their guests safe.
Yeah, I do have the statement, which we'll get to later. I don't have it right in front of me, but I do have it handy.
What does that mean? They lost the faith.
A lot of people were mad at the Kings because the police weren't doing their job. Okay, or the Kings said the police weren't doing their job, and that upset quite a few people. When, hey, here's the thing.
I feel like they were doing their job.
The police?
Yeah.
I kind of disagree, but the police weren't doing their job because they didn't want to. They have instructions from higher up how to, you know, ascertain these situations. But here's the thing.
They kept it from getting violent.
In this day and age, yeah, they did, but in doing so, people that bought tickets couldn't watch the game. I almost think at every, I don't care if it's Golden One, I don't care if you're down in the San Francisco, these stadiums and venues need their own task forces in this day and age. They really do.
Golden One task force that come out and said, hey, this
is... And a percentage of them work for PD or whatever. So,
well, I think that there's a little bit of truth to all of that. I think that what rubbed me the wrong way is just they diverted from the actual cause of the issue. They placed the blame in the police's hands, or the law enforcement's hands, rather than the people causing the issue.
Yeah. Yeah, and see, that's the thing. When you want to raise awareness, I just, in this day and age, I think protesting's old-fashioned.
Well, you want to raise awareness, again, I mean, you want to get people on your side.
Yeah.
The first way you go about doing that is to make them feel welcome and part of the cause. You do not make them feel like you're out to...
You don't want to scare them. You want to invite them. You want to extend the hand and say, hey, this is awful what happened to Stephon Clark.
If you want help with what your cause is.
Yeah, you would think. But back to what I said just a second ago. Do you think protesting's old-fashioned?
No.
You don't?
No.
See,
I think it could be real. I'm thinking of many, many different ways they could have gone about this to where this would have changed the entire attitude of this city.
I disagree. When you block traffic on I-5, and I got these here. I mean, we got tons of comments to get to. But one person, this is what they wrote. I-5 is closed to due to protest. There's a group of people walking on the highway. I'm stuck in gridlock traffic downtown. I know what happened in Sacramento was really messed up, but I just want to go home after a long, hard day of work. Does this really help? People start chiming in. The shooting that occurred over the weekend where the man was unarmed, again, it wasn't right what happened, but I don't see how blocking the highway during commute hours helps. Another guy responds with, you talking about it and educating others does help. So you see the flip side of it, but back to why I think protesting is old-fashioned. Back in the day, we didn't have news coverage. We didn't have TV. We didn't have a lot of radio. People are out on farms. If you worked for a crappy company that was abusing you in a small town, the only way to get the town behind you was to go out with a stick and a big board and say, hey, they're beating us at lunch, or we're not getting lunch breaks. And the other townspeople would rally, going, hey, that's not fair. But when you live in 2018 and you have social media and you have just the regular media and you got the Twitter and you have all these different assets, the protesters need to find, and this goes back to what you're saying, Joe, a new way to invite people to their cause, because everybody knows about what's going on, and now all protesters are doing is pissing off the other side. They're creating an enemy, not a friend or a gathering to support them.
Yeah, whoever is leading this is not leading this with any kind of a smart tactic involved.
Well, and again, I think this protest started. It's all part of Black Lives Matter, but I think it was instigated in part by the Clark family, because the Clark brother was out yesterday at Golden One. He had the megaphone, and obviously, rightfully so, the family's going to be upset at what happened. If, in fact, they disagree with what law enforcement did, you could understand why a family would want to go out and get answers and raise awareness for this police shooting that they feel is unjust. I get that, but the way they're going about it, it's just, it's not productive.
Tell me that you wouldn't have it would have played off better to you to see 2,000 people lined up down the sides of the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not impeding anything with their mm-hmm. signs and megaphones and talking. So you're able to get back and forth and go to your commute, but it stretched on for 2 miles.
Sure.
So for 2 miles of your drive, you saw people with signs and
mm-hmm.
and that now that was something that would affect me. I'd be like, good God.
Yeah.
There's a lot of folks out here really, you know, supporting this cause. But you stand in front of the road and block me, and all I think you're doing is you're going to meet an aggressive nature with an aggressive nature.
And the comments, and a lot of people expected me today to go on the radio and go, like dog's going to say tomorrow, they were calling it, run him over.
You're not a violent man.
Well, I do somewhat agree with the comments they wanted me to say, which is run him over. I mean, you kind of feel like that.
You do, but you are not one of the folks that would hop in their little Toyota Celica and mow through 50
people. I'm not deranged, yes. But what I'm saying is it levels up that anger to make people want to do something they normally wouldn't.
And you'd think the folks that are smart enough to organize this many people would realize that.
Well, I think they think with their anger and their hearts more than they do their heads. Josh says you were out protesting there last night. Welcome.
How's it going, guys?
Appreciate you hanging, man. You were there.
Yes, I was. I didn't walk across the freeway because I don't agree with that, and I thought that was kind of not legit. But the police did block off the roads, and they did block off the freeway, but people were hopping in on the other lane that they did not block off. So that was partially the police that did that, and then they let the people walk across the freeway. As for protesters, people trying to get across the line, some people went behind and just tapped on the glass, and no one made anything of it because we knew they weren't going to let anyone in regardless. They pulled away all the security stuff on one entrance, and then they left it out. One guy that was protesting was, like, knocking over some of the walls and stuff, and people that were there protesting with him told him to stop because it just wasn't what the message was, and we're trying to not make it violent.
Okay, where did this gather up? How did this whole thing start? Where did you see the Facebook message, or what made you want to join this Black Lives Matter march and go out and do this last night? Where did it form?
Well, more or less, it's within my friend group that this happened. So it's like a friend of a friend was shot, so I'm going to go support my friend. And I've had somebody on both sides. I had a white friend when I was in high school in his front yard with machete, and police shot at him. So I'm just against police violence. Like, that's all I'm there for.
But hold on here. I don't want to go off topic too much, but the kid had a machete in his front yard. You're not against police violence, but, I mean, the dude's got a weapon. I mean,
Well, he's cutting bushes.
Okay, not conventional, but a little crazy to the general population. I mean, he's cutting bushes with a machete.
I'd actually like to see that.
Okay. So answer me this, though. With what you did last night, beyond the fact that everyone's talking about it and you've upset a city, what did it do?
Here's the thing I was going to say. When people were trying to get in, or people that were not part of the protest, people actually joined that were trying to get into the game and were chanting and getting a part of it. Yes, people were upset, but other people actually hopped in and joined in.
So people that were going to go to the actual basketball game and watch a basketball game weren't upset at all that they had spent money on a ticket and weren't going to be able to see the game.
No, don't get me wrong. People were mad. People were mad. I mean, I saw a lot of people getting in other people's faces. But other people did hop in.
They basically, the ones that hopped in, paid to protest.
Basically, yeah.
Well, there are a few of them. Yeah, that's not the majority. Josh, what do you do for a living?
I work for a property manager.
Okay.
Interesting.
How do you find time to fight for these causes or to go out and protest? I mean, is everything in your life in order? Are you fulfilled? I mean, are your passions being lived out? I mean, you have this much free time to where you can donate your extra time to a cause like this? And I'm not saying the cause isn't worthy. I'm just saying I find it hard to fathom that people who are truly productive in their own lives, bettering themselves, have time to do this.
So I don't know about that.
I'm just curious what your day consists of, time-wise.
I mean, I go to work. I work a 9-to-5. I mean, I go to a lot of shows. Like you, I collect a lot of vinyl. I mean, I live my passions. I do what I want. I have a great friend group.
You're passionate about the Black Lives Matter cause, and this affected you. You said someone close to you.
I mean, it's more or less I'm against police violence.
Okay. Hey, fair enough. I'm glad you called and you stood on. I appreciate it. 766-9370.
And you're allowed to be passionate about causes and about what you want. And I find that to be amazing.
You can be against police violence. Yeah.
I think it's great that people stand up for those things. I just want to do it. Make it so a guy that would be on the fence would want to be on your side. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not a guy that's on the fence would look at it and go, gosh,
I hate you.
I'm just going to be as violent as the violence you're trying to stop.
Social surveys waiting for you on Facebook. Chime in, and then we'll come back with a couple of these. What, if anything, would make you protest? What would get you off your seat, off your ass, and hold up a stick or go stand in front of a place like Golden One? What, if anything, would make you protest? 766-9370. Hold on.